Welcome to this half-hour broadcast of AARP the Magazine and AARP Bulletin. This is Carrie Minarchik. We're going to continue reading from articles in the August and September issue of AARP the Magazine. We're going to begin with our money saver in an article called Keep, Shred, Scan. There's a fine line between holding on to important financial and medical records and hoarding. Here's where to draw it. By Daniel Bortz. Tax returns. Not running for president? Keep returns and supporting documents for 3 years after each return's due date, or the date you filed, whichever is later. That's the window the IRS has for catching mistakes. But if you're self-employed or have complex finances, double that to 6 years, the time frame the IRS has to audit you if it thinks you've grossly underreported your income. Either way, check your My Social Security account at ssa.gov before shredding, so you have backup to fix your earnings record if a Social Security has it wrong. Own a home? Keep renovation and repair receipts for 7 years after selling to help reduce any taxes you might owe on the sale. Banking and investments. If you or your spouse might apply for Medicaid for nursing home care, you'll likely need 5 years of banking, credit card, and brokerage records to prove eligibility. Otherwise, keep statements for a year, unless they're tax-related, says Jenny Gift, a vice president at document management firm Records Nation. Your bank or broker may have years of statements online. If not, save new ones to a password-protected folder on your computer. Keep records of any stock or bond purchase for 6 years after you file the return reporting its sale. But dump your old canceled checks, since your bank or credit union has copies, says Bankrate analyst Mark Hamrick. Medical records. Err on the side of caution here. Harlan Krumholtz, a cardiologist and researcher at Yale University, recommends retaining all test results, such as blood workups and x-rays, indefinitely. Normal or not, the information may be useful in the future in your own clinical care or for research, he says. Particularly important are surgical reports, hospital discharge summaries, and treatment plans for major illnesses. Put these in a secure cloud-based account or password-protected folder. This way you can easily share them with future healthcare providers. Keep immunization and vaccination records permanently, too. You may need them for certain jobs or for traveling abroad. How to cut your risk. Fight identity theft by shredding unneeded documents. Here are some options. Local events. Check with your state AARP office for shredding days, or search online for one nearby. There's no charge. Retail services. FedEx and Staples, among other stores, will shred for you at $1 and up per pound of paper. Or do it yourself. Buy your own shredder, one that's described as confetti, cross-cut, or micro-cut. Cost $35 or more. In an article called Buck the System, guidelines can simplify your financial life, but sometimes you'll profit more by giving them a twist. By Lynn Asenoff. The great thing about rules of thumb is that they can help turn complicated decisions into easy ones. How much life insurance does a person need? What portion of her long-term savings should she put into the stock market? Is there a way to predict the amount of money she'll spend each year in retirement? Answering questions like these could take hours upon hours of research and reflection, or just a few seconds of arithmetic. Financial rules of thumb can be a helpful shortcut, says Cheryl Garrett, founder of Garrett Planning Network, a nationwide group of financial advisors. That's sometimes what we really need. Other times, however, those nuggets of received wisdom are a little too simple or just no longer apply. So here's a rundown of the most common money formulas you're likely to come across, along with the reasoning behind them, and any revisions they might need so they remain useful tools. 1. To protect yourself in case of financial emergencies, keep at least 6 months' worth of living expenses in the bank. The reasoning: an emergency fund is just-in-case money set aside to cover a job loss, a medical problem, car woes, or another costly shock. Financial planners recommend having enough such cash set aside to support yourself for several months, anywhere from 3 to 12, depending on your circumstances. No, don't put the money under the mattress. Instead, keep it in an account you can access quickly, like a savings account, a short-term certificate of deposit, or a money market fund. 6 months, the length of time it commonly takes to find a new job, is generally viewed as a good number, says Dana Levitt of Paragon Financial Advisors in Newton, Mass. The revision: older working people, who tend to have longer periods of unemployment after a job loss, may want to stash away 12 months of living expenses, if possible, Levitt adds. The same goes for retirees who depend on money pulled from their retirement accounts. Having 12 months of cash on hand reduces the risk of being forced to withdraw money out of investments when stock or bond prices are down. Number 2. Before retirement, allocate 50% of your household's annual after-tax income for needs, 30% for wants, and 20% for savings. The reasoning: these ratios help you achieve a three-way balance among everyday essentials, enjoying your life in the present, and planning for the future. 50% goes towards things you must have, such as food, housing, and insurance. Other purchases, up to 30% of your spending, are wants, whether they're vacations, meals out, or premium cable channels. The final 20% goes towards savings, or if necessary, debt repayment. The revision: be realistic and flexible. For many people, needs add up to more than 50% of spending. For example, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics found that in households anchored by people 65 and older, the basic needs of housing, health care, and meals at home averaged 55% of spending. In these cases, planners caution, it's important to pare back on the wants budget and not forget about debt repayment and savings. Number 3. Subtract your age from 100. That number is the percentage of your investments you should have in stocks or stock funds. The rest should be in bonds. The reasoning: when you're young, you have a longer investment horizon, and are better able to ride out the ups and downs of the stock market. As such, you can shoulder the market risk posed by stocks and stock funds in exchange for the growth potential they offer compared with bond and bond funds. These bond investments, generally speaking, have lower returns over time, but they supply regular income and can help stabilize an investment portfolio. According to this rule, a 25-year-old should have 75% invested in stocks, but a 75-year-old should have only 25% in stocks, with the rest in bonds. The revision? These percentages may no longer work. People are living longer, and they often need the portfolio growth that stock investments are more likely to provide. Without any adjustment, this rule could cause people to be too conservative, explains financial advisor Sharon Rich of Womone in Belmont, Massachusetts. If you have enough fixed income to weather a 7 to 10 year downturn in the economy, she says, you can afford to boost the percentage of your stocks in your portfolio above what the rule of 100 suggests. Number 4. Set aside 1% of your home's value each year for maintenance and repairs. The reasoning? Big ticket maintenance projects such as a roof replacement or house painting aren't annual events, but they're expensive. To make sure you're covered, annually budget 1% of your home's value for these. That's $2,500 a year for a home worth $250,000. If you don't use it 1 year, you can use it the next, says Steve Thalheimer, a Silver Spring, Maryland financial advisor. He likes the 1% guideline, saying that arranged over time, it should cover major home maintenance expenses. The revision? If you have an older house, or if your house is in need of work, you may have to budget more, Thalheimer acknowledges. Garrett recommends 2% of your home's value. Number 5. When you buy life insurance, get a policy that will pay 7 to 10 times your current annual income upon your death. The reasoning? If you die early, your partner or family will require lots of cash to compensate for the years of earnings you were expected to provide. The revision. Rather than using annual income as a guideline, estimate what your survivors need to avoid financial disaster, suggests New York City financial advisor Gary Schatzky, president of ObjectiveAdvice.com. That means making sure they can cover the mortgage payments and the kids' college tuition, pay for health care, and have sufficient income to live. Even if you have no income, you may need insurance to pay to replace the unpaid labor you provide for your family, say caregiving for a child or an older relative. If you're retired or if you don't have any dependents, you might skip life insurance entirely, unless you have a specific estate planning purpose, such as providing for the adult children of your first marriage to avoid conflicts with your younger second spouse. And number 6, in retirement, plan for your ongoing expenses to total 80% of your pre-retirement income. The reasoning? Once the kids are grown and work-related expenses disappear, the annual cost of living could go down. And though in the past you may have set aside a chunk of your income for retirement savings, after you've retired, well, that line item will likely disappear. The revision? When budgeting for retirement, pay attention to your expenses, not your income. Identify your specific monthly spending needs, then create a cash flow plan to cover them, and leave some wiggle room for spending spikes. Commuting expenses may be gone, but retirees often drop more on travel or need to hire extra help at home. What's more, retirees' expenses tend to vary, often rising in the early years, dropping in the middle years, and then climbing if health issues arise. Look at current expenses closely, advises Rich, who uses a spreadsheet to track spending, and project which annual expenses will go up and which will go down. One thing people often forget to include: taxes generated by a retirement plan withdrawal, which become mandatory at age 70 and a half. In our next articles, we're going to read How to Upgrade Your Home and Stay Forever. The Property Brothers show you how, in an article titled Home Sweet Home Forever by David Hockman. Jonathan and Drew Scott and their mom and dad, Joanne and Jim, design a place you'll never want to leave. Leave it to Jonathan and Drew Scott, better known as the Property Brothers, to look inside an overstuffed closet and see a long, happy retirement. The famous reality TV Fixer Upper twins are helping their parents, Joanne and Jim, dream up ways to create a forever home, a place where they can live comfortably on their own now and for many years to come. Do you know what it's called when you have too much clutter? Drew says to his mother, as they stare down a wardrobe unit dating to the bell-bottom era. I do, Jonathan interjects. It's called being a hoarder. Get rid of that junk. The brothers Scott are using an older house that's for sale near their real homes in Las Vegas as inspiration and cautionary tale to guide Joanne and Jim as they think ahead to what's sometimes called aging in place, a way to continue to live independently, regardless of age. You've worked hard all your life, Jonathan says to his mom and dad. Now it's time to make your home work for you, for the long run. The older Scots are not alone in seeking an at-home future. A recent AARP study found that nearly 80% of older adults want to continue living in their home for as long as possible, says Linda Marsh Ryerson, president of AARP Foundation, AARP's charitable affiliate. In particular, the ability to age in place for low-income older adults depends on access to affordable housing that incorporates universal design fundamentals, such as no-step entries and lever-style door and faucet handles. So now, room by room, appliance by appliance, closet by crammed closet, join Jonathan and Drew and Joanne and Jim as they talk through the fixes, refreshes, and cost-efficient upgrades that can make your current abode a happily ever after home while keeping in mind key universal design concepts. In the kitchen, before, an old layout is cramped, ergonomically challenged, Brady Bunch era yellow. Plus, you need to be our height to reach those high cupboards. Let's open the space, fix the lighting, and bring a kitchen into the 21st century. A few improvements will make it easier to stay at home into your 70s, 80s, and beyond, says Jonathan. Older fixtures and appliances can be unsafe and inconvenient. A new fridge is an investment, but it saves on energy bills. Today's camera-equipped smart fridges can order food for delivery as needed. A raised dishwasher eases the burden of bending and lifting. Voice-activated tech is a must-have for any modern kitchen. Neutral paint colors freshen and modernize a space. Accessible storage adds value, and you can never have too much of it. Microwave ovens are now programmable by voice command. And under-cabinet lighting makes midnight snacking easier. Sense alerts if you have left on the stove for too long. A senior-style faucet works great if you have arthritis or raw chicken on your hands. Lots of these tech products are cheaper than you think and save over the long run. Organized storage makes life easier and more efficient. Joanne Scott says, lazy Susans aren't just for the lazy. In the bedroom, before, the bed's too high, storage is wonky, and the ceiling fan is low enough to take a little off the top, says Jonathan, at least you'd save money on haircuts. If you invest in just one bedroom upgrade, make it a better bed. You spend a third of your life on this piece of furniture, so you want it to feel great at the right height and firmness for you. If you don't have the budget to replace a mattress, consider a mattress topper. An organized master closet helps you find everything you need quickly and easily. Centralize your stuff. Then you don't have to be jogging across your bedroom to get ready in the morning. I like storage units under the bed. That's called maximizing every square inch. Consider bedroom seating, too. Place a bench at the foot of the bed. It makes it easier to get shoes off and slippers on. In your after bedroom, an air quality monitor tracks humidity and temperature. Bedside units hold books, glasses, water, and medicine. Blackout shades are available in stylish options. Reduce insomnia. Skip device screens in favor of directional lighting. Throw pillows add a pop of color and sophistication. Bed height does matter. Make it easy to get on and off. And Drew says peace of mind in the bedroom gives you peace of mind for everything in your day. Here are some Forever Home bonus tips. More ways to make Jim and Joanne's home safe, efficient, and comfy for the years ahead. Ignite your passions. Turn a little used guest room into a hobby center, fitness room, grandkid playroom, or home theater. Go all access. Barriers be gone. Use low-effort lever door handles instead of knobs, carpet stairs, and leave enough doorway clearance for wheelchairs, strollers, and your future hoverboard. Lighten up. Good lighting means a safer home. Touch control lamps and light timers make handling your lighting easy. Use energy-efficient and long-lasting LED light bulbs to keep walkways brightly lit. Winter in style. Electric fireplace units nowadays are very easy to install and can look like a gas or wood fireplace. Hear, hear. Wireless speaker systems are fantastic for music or TV surround sound. And maintain, maintain. Staying on top of routine maintenance can keep you safe Extend the life of your appliances and even lower your utility bills. In the bathroom, don't just renovate on the cheap. Smart investments save big bucks down the road, says Jonathan. Before your bathroom is fixed, old fixtures and lighting, an odd layout, and an outdated commode. Low-flow toilets reduce water bills. Robo-toilets have voice-activated flushing and lids that raise automatically. Prefab cabinets are more affordable than they used to be and higher quality. Big box stores sell pre-assembled all-in-one vanities and sink fixtures that extend storage and look great. Adding technology doesn't have to be scary. Plug-and-play lighting can illuminate your path to the bathroom if you have to pee in the middle of the night. And after, a pull-down bench in the shower definitely comes in handy. For your walk-in shower with multiple heads, it adds major resale value. Minimize dead spaces by installing storage, such as a cabinet above the toilet. And speaking of that toilet, a toilet in a corner allows for another grab bar. Taller toilets make it easier to get on and off. Utilize mirrors with lighting built in to get you ready for that picture-perfect selfie. And finally, no-slip floor surfaces reduce the chances of falls, a leading cause of hospital visits among those 50 and over. And finally, we're going to have one more brief article in an AARP portrait, a spotlight on members who inspire us. This one's called The Wayfarer. He's seeing the world one step at a time. When he was growing up in New York City, nature meant Central Park. As a young adult, J. Robert Harris bought himself a tent and a backpack and started hiking the Catskills and Adirondacks on the weekends. In time, he ventured farther, the Rocky Mountains, the Alps, the Andes. "I've hiked maybe 12,000 to 15,000 miles," Harris says. "Getting away from both people and my environment helps me get more in touch with who I am." Harris has had some scrapes. He lost his food and gear in Tasmania. He got caught in a blizzard in Mount Rainier National Park. Out alone in nature, you're always only one step away from a disaster, he points out. I just have to be confident that I can handle it. The same goes at home. If a client of Harris's marketing research and consulting firm needs a deadline moved up, he doesn't panic, he says. I just think to myself, dude, you walked across Alaska three times. And J. Robert Harris is 75. He lives in New York City and has been an AARP member since 1994. And once again, that's all we have time for today. Thank you for listening to this half-hour broadcast of AARP the Magazine and AARP Bulletin. This is Carrie Minarchek. Have a great week.